I want to talk to you about a fragrant aroma. To us as humans, smell plays a very important role. For one, that's why we got deodorant, because otherwise the fragrance that you will never get a wife. So spite broer, this is part of the fun. Any case, but smell to us is very important. I would have liked to have someone out there, maybe just busy brying a steak tonight. But I might lose you. I definitely will lose all the men, because they will just... And the poor guy who's just brying one steak will not live. I know, because I'll tackle him first. In any case, it will be my steak. But smell to us plays a very important role. And you know what's interesting? As I prepared for this, I had a look in the Bible, and it's just so interesting how, you know, we are made in the image of God, and how God actually enjoys smell. And I'll tell you why. Because in Genesis 4 already, he has some guys, you know, offering stuff to him. I made a joke this morning, but my wife said it was not by good. That's why you have a wife. But I'll tell you what I said. Maybe it's better the second time around, right? I said, I'm not convinced that God's a vegetarian, because when Cain brought his fruit and veg to him, he just said, "Nee, broer, we'll take the meat." Okay, but that's just a joke, people. Okay, right? That was a grappie. Okay. Lord said, yeah, that can be, I can get into a lot of trouble. And that's in the name of David, I weet wat nie vleis eet nie. So, grace, nee. Thank you, I'll receive it. But it's interesting to look in the Bible how God is really into sacrifices, right? There's a lot of places where people are offering stuff to him. Now, if you go read Leviticus, you will see, man, there was a lot of stuff that need to be offered and burned, and you know, a lot of different types of offering, which God instructed the Israelites on how they should offer those things. All of them had their precepts, what to do, what not to do. Who should do it, who shouldn't do it. You know, how you should do it, should it be clean, should it be outside, or should it be inside? And there's a whole story. Just go do yourself a favor. Go read Leviticus. How many of you have read Leviticus this week? I see one hand. It's genius. Okay, yeah, he's hardcore, I say. But if we look at that, we just realize that God actually loves the aroma of things that we offer to him, right? Now, I was just thinking about this, and I thought, it is amazing. I would have loved to be there, because when the Bible says the Israelites started offering, I mean, he talks about thousands of cattle and thousands of sheep, and then there's another klomp tortle they were in there, and I don't know what else, but I mean, if they burn stuff, they burn it bad. Okay, but can you imagine when they started offering these offerings to their God, what do you think happened in the nations around them? If I was the Philistines, I probably would have gone, Gonoki. They are sacrificing to their God, and you know what happens when they sacrifice to their God. We are on the chopping block. They're coming for us. But can you imagine that aroma, that smell, that will just spread through the country as they were just sacrificing these offers to God? Being obedient to his instruction and laying these things on the altar, slaughtering. I mean, can you imagine all the blood and stuff that went on there? But it must have been an amazing sight being there to see how they were worshiping God in a very public way. Because those offerings weren't done in their little tents. It was done out there in the open. Normally on a high place. Right? It's interesting how the enemy fakes that, and how he also wants to offer stuff on high places. Okay? But they were there to offer things to God on the high places. Now, I know I want to refer to the scripture, and I realize that this is not necessarily the type of offering that Paul is speaking about here. But I just wanted to show you the importance of smell and the aroma of what we sacrifice is to God. And I'm sure Paul would have understood exactly that as he wrote this down. that aroma, that sacrifice is very important to us. So let's read. This is 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14 to 16. It says, "But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one a fragrance from death to death, to the other fragrance from life to life." Now, what Paul is actually writing here, and he says there, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession. Now, as I looked at the scripture, it was interesting to note that he was actually referring to when a general has gone to war, he slaughtered the enemy, he was victorious, and now he was coming back into the city. Now, if I'm trying to think what movie it was. Well, it cannot have been Ben-Hur, but that's maybe a bit before your time. If you ever get the movie Ben-Hur, it's a good movie. But there's another one that... any case, where jylle lach, nee, want jylle weet nie wat dit is nie, maar any case. But trust me, as the general entered the city, he was in the front on his horse, very, you know, baie fancy gedress and all the rest of it, and behind him was his army. And they were all victorious as they entered the city. But that's not all that was part of this procession, because as part of the procession, there was a couple of guys that they have caught who was the enemies that they were bringing in. And from what I understand, they actually killed these guys publicly just to say, we have done this. And then as part of the procession, there was a couple of guys that were carrying fragrance offerings or whatever as part of the offering. Now, what it says here, to the one death, it was speaking of life and death. It's because apparently part of this procession, there was a couple of guys that knew that they were about to get killed, which were their enemies, right? And then there was a couple that they were going to be set free. So to the one, it was a smell of death because they knew that what was coming. But to the other one, it was a smell of freedom. Now, I couldn't figure out why they let the guys free, but I guess they were happy. Okay, so, but it's the same way how we in this world should let our fragrance be released into the world. But before I get there, because now I'm sort of jumping ahead of where I want to go, maybe just to give you a bit of context of when Paul wrote this to Corinthians. Now, the Corinthians were a bunch of troubled people. Hulle het nogal moeilikheid veroorsaak. So they did a bunch of weird things. And 1 Corinthians, he wrote to them, and he wrote about love and all that, and he was speaking to them. But in 2 Corinthians, he writes to them, and he says, but this is who I am. This is where I've been. This is what's happened in my life. And he just says, listen, I want you to know where I've been. So when he writes this, in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8 and 9, he says this, for we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Now, the context in which he's saying this is, he's saying God is leading us in this triumphal procession. But he's just writing this from a place where he was fearing for his life. Where he says, man, I've received the death sentence. I was about to be killed. I was going to get taken out. And yet, he writes that Christ leads us in his triumphal procession. Now, I'm just thinking, I don't know who of you have ever been in a place where you have experienced this, where, you know, you were about to die. You knew this is it. There's no other way that you can get out of here. This is it. Now, I'm very grateful. I've never been in that situation. Hopefully plan not to do that anytime soon. But he is writing and he's saying, but listen, I've seen this. And the reason why he says this is that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. So it's almost like he was put through the situation for that purpose. That he shouldn't rely on himself, but on God. Now, how many of us are sitting here and you are facing situations or things in your life, but who are you trusting in? Where are you running to, and what? Who's your help? Okay? And he's saying, listen, I faced a few things in my life. Now, if I understand Scripture correctly, he says, listen, in this world you will face trials. You will have stuff happening to you, but be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. Now, when I prepared this, I was just thinking, how quickly do we look at the problem and then we become despondent with what is facing us? Instead of drawing strength from God, being in this place where you realize that you cannot trust in yourself, you can trust only in God, where God is literally the only one that can take you through this. Can you imagine what it's going to look like if we really like this, live like that? What is interesting in 2 Corinthians, obviously, Paul writes this when he's now gone through the situation and he's writing, starting 2 Corinthians off like this. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He was just about to die. And he writes this. He says, he's the God of all comfort who comforts us in all our affliction. Do you really trust God to comfort you in all your affliction? Do you know God in this way? Who comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with a comfort which we have ourselves received. We are comforted by God. Now, I don't know about you, but I've learned a couple of times in my life that, you know, God allows us to go through stuff. And he always turns it around for his glory. I was the youth leader at the AFM in Joburg. And I really liked this girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ek was my useless broer. Yes, yeah. I tell you, just for me to get to the place where I'm not going to, you know, sal jy nou met my uitgaan kind of thing, you know, will you date me? That was hectic. Wat sê jy? Kees. Nee, it was bietjie, ek was ernstiger as Kees. No, I was really liking this girl. I was, you know. In any case, moving right along. So I eventually got to the point where I'm now ready. I'm going to now ask her to Kees with me now. And I remember this one night, I was thinking, now tonight's the night. And I don't know how this happened, but when I heard, my brother actually asked her out. I was born again, and it was just as well, because there was thoughts of, okay, no more brother. But I went through this thing where he snatched this girl right in front of me, and I'm thinking, but I was ready. I was just not doing anything, but it's the lot, you know, she's gone, and I broke down, and I was really in this thing where I was like, yes, Here, how can you do this to me? You know, I really like this girl. I mean, she was the worship leader. I mean, she can mooi sing ook, and all the rest of it, and I tell you, my life fell apart. For the next week, I was a zombie, you know, most of you have been there, done that, you've got the t-shirts, you know exactly what I'm talking about, where food doesn't taste the way it shouldn't. The sun doesn't rise and you get all that goeders. I mean, ek was in my chops in. So in any case, so I'm sort of, you know, wrestling with God with this thing, and I'm getting through this, and on the other side of this thing, I was the youth leader at that stage, and I was sort of just getting peace and you know, God really dealing with my heart, and suddenly at that stage, about I think it was 3 or 4 of the youth came to me. And they were and I'm like, I know this. I've just gone through this. And you know what? I sat there being able to speak into these guys' lives, having just been there, having experienced what they were going through. So I could identify with him. And then obviously, I mean, God had gone sort me out over the couple of weeks. And you know, I've got this woman for you and relax type thing. And I could say to them, but chill, because your God is in control. And this is not the end of the world. They didn't believe me because when you're in there, you don't think that, you know, this is the act is no more. You know, I'm about to die. Lord, rapture me. This woman doesn't love me. And I sat there, and I to this day, I was amazed how me going through this thing turned out to be a blessing. And through that, God was able to help these guys. And I mean, all of you know, teens in relationships is manachyong. And it was nice to actually walk with that through with him. And that is exactly what Paul is writing here. He says, listen, I've been through this now. And now I can comfort guys who's about to die. So listen, if you're about to die, here's my number, call me up. But isn't it true? Because so many times when you speak to someone and they've been through a similar situation that you've been through, they actually understand. I've never experienced someone dying, you know, like a family. Yeah, thank you, Jere. Let's just keep them alive. But it's no one close to me, that close to me, has died yet. I know it's coming, and I would love to skip that, but it's okay. But years ago, a friend of mine, his father died. And he sat me down. He was a pastor as well. And he sat me down and he said, you know, Kobus, being a pastor, you speak to people and through bereavement and all this, but you never really get, you know what to say and how to handle it and everything, but now I understand differently. Now I can relate to them in a completely different manner. So you see, me and you, as we journey through this life, we are going to face stuff. But we should allow God to use those things for His glory. And then if we look at 2 Corinthians 2, the second part of what I read, he says, for we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are being perished. So our lives are a fragrance that is out there. Now, if I understand Paul here correctly, the way that you go through the stuff that is in your life sets off an aroma to those around you. And it's either going to be aroma that draws people to Christ, or it's going to be one that says, you know, this Christianity thing is not really real. And what aroma do you spread? Not here. Yeah, it's easy, isn't it? Yeah, we all love one another. It's lekker, you know, it's drink coffee, and it's nice. But it's out there when your boss tackles you and gives you, you know, this job which you really shouldn't do, but he wants you to do, and there's conflict and stuff, or the relationship goes pear-shaped, or your finances crash, or your business goes pear-shaped. I don't know, whatever you're facing, how do you handle that thing? You know, because the way that you and I handle these things are a testimony of our God to those around us. And you know what? They see that. They look at you and me, when you're going through something difficult in your life, they look at that and they go, wow, look at how he handles this thing. How can he do that? That's miserable. I mean, how? He's smiling. It's weird. But you see, that aroma starts drawing them. I walked into my bride room this morning as I prepared for today, and we bride a bit last night. And I walked into the bride room and I could smell the rabiki. And instantly, I was hungry. Okay, it is early in the morning, but I mean, that smell just said, you need to buy some more. Now, I challenge you, go and try and be very spiritual when the rabbiki is slapping you in the face the whole time saying, you need to eat. It was like, come on! Yeah, excuse me, I'm out of here. But it's interesting how aromas and smells can remind us of stuff. You know what? And may the way that you go through something in your life trigger that in someone's life when they face something similar to go, but did you see how they went through that? Why is that? You see, because the Holy Spirit will use those things to speak into their lives, to touch their lives. You know, and what we need to understand from the scripture as well is that Christ leads us in his triumphal position. Our victory is not in ourselves. We've sung it tonight in a big way that our victory is in Christ. Amazing grace. We have received that. But you know what? When we face a trial or we face someone that's difficult or anything, we default to ourselves. Rather than going, I've got the victory. You know, and if I read the Bible correctly, it says in John 15, he says, listen, unless you abide in the vine, you can do nothing. You cannot bear fruit. You cannot do anything. I need you to connect with me. So it comes back again to our relationship with God. You see, and you can only, when you face that trial, when you're in that situation, it will truly reveal what is in you. Because you can only be what you have become. If you and I are not spending time in the presence of God, connecting with the one, the general, who is leading this procession, who has won the victory, who has conquered everything, if I'm not connecting with him, how do you think I'm going to react in that situation? If I'm not connected, I cannot react to that from the overflow of understanding who I am in Christ, of understanding what is done for me, of understanding that the victory that is won, I cannot react that way because I have not been with him. You see, and through this whole thing, God is just continually calling you, saying, listen, come to me. You know that situation you're facing? I've got the answer. You know, he says in the Bible that with the temptation, he even gives the outcome. And that he equipped you to do this. But you see, it's locked up in our Heavenly Father. It's locked up in the victory that he has won. And I was just thinking while we're singing, we sing these words so easy. Yet when it comes, you know, we face things out there, we're not living that. And I believe God wants tonight to challenge each one of us, saying, listen, what fragrance are you showing to the world out there? Do they see Jesus Christ in the way that you handle the situations? You know, it's easy to be joyful in everything when we're on the mountaintops, when we are experiencing God and everything going well. But what does it look like when things are hard? When that guy suddenly drives in front of you? When I had my Land Cruiser? Yeah, some evil thoughts. Because that Land Cruiser had a bull bar which was made from 6mm steel. So I would just polish the paint off. But I never did it. But I can say I thought about it. Especially if it was a taxi. You know, taxi's like, target. But how do you react when that guy drives in front of you? You know, is the arm out and hello? I hope not. You'll smile. But what happens when you're in the car? What do you say? What do you... Yeah. Listen, depends on the situation. Eh? Especially in traffic. I hate traffic. That's why I don't drive to town anymore. We've moved the offices here, praise the Lord. So for you, all of you that are driving through traffic, may the Lord bless you and help you, because you're going to face many trials and temptations, and you have to be Christ in that situation. Amen. If you need prayer, please come afterwards. All right, so maybe just to conclude, I think it is important that we understand that we are part of what Christ has done. He is the general that is victorious, that has won it all. We are in his procession. And you know that whole procession was for the glory just of the general? Okay? The troops got a yay, well done. But the general was the main guy that got all the honor. And we are in this procession, in this world, following our leader. And in everything that we do, this procession is to bring glory to him. To shine the light only on him. You know what? And we should be nothing. If you think about it, when a general goes to war, he sits somewhere in a tent. And die troepe word geslaughtered. But now I've been in the army. The guys with all the castles and things on their shoulders, they sit up there somewhere with a two-way radio and they just shout orders. You know why they can do that? It's because they see the bigger picture. They've got all the information coming in from satellites and planes and all these things, which we as troops on the ground don't get. But he understands what is going on, and through that he can direct us. And you know what? Without that direction, we cannot win the war, because we will most probably get into a trap. So he gets all the glory because he has directed his troops and he's won the victory. And we are part of this procession. But you know what the amazing thing is? He said of you and me that you are more than a conqueror. He says you are able to do all things. He says, I'm with you till the end of the age. Just walk with me. I want to enable you. I want to empower you. I mean, he even left us his Holy Spirit to help us to do this. So you're not even on your own. You've received everything to go through this trial that you are facing. Okay, and then we are the fragrance of Christ to those who are being saved. You see, as we go through this year, we can encourage one another. We can say, listen, I've gone through this. And that aroma is being set free. And we encourage one another. But then it's to those that are perishing as well. And that is the declaration out there that they go, whoa. So we should continually let the fragrance of Christ be released wherever we find ourselves. Just remember, you are in full-time ministry there. I think I've said that before. You are in full-time ministry. That's your church. So you need to go bear fruit there. Amen? How we react to situations daily will draw people to Christ or not. Listen, I know this is a challenge, eh? Because you get yourself, stuff happens at work or wherever, but we should allow that the Holy Spirit flow through us and let that fragrance be set free. So that people, you know, they say you don't know, what's that saying that says, you know, spread the gospel or just sometimes we hear words, or say, use words or something? Something like that. So sometimes use words. Okay. You know, please use words. That other person understands it. But you know what? That's not all we should use is our words. Our actions and how we react to these things. And I mean, I've said this now enough. Is how we deal with life will be a testimony to God. And listen, you can go talk to people and you'll hear how they've been put off on how Christians has handled them and how they've done and all those things. And may we be the generation, the people that shift the way that people see God in us. May we shift how they experience the love of God through us. Might we change this world? Because you know what? That's why he called you. That's why he set you apart. That's why he gave your life to him. And you said, here's my everything. It's because he wants to use you mightily. Okay, so let your life be a fragrance. Let it be an aroma, not of yourself. Because we are supposed to be dead, right? We have given our lives to him. We've died to ourselves. We are alive to Christ in this world. So let our lives be a testimony of those. But you see, as we sit here tonight, I know there's some of us that has maybe been in a situation and so on, and the Holy Spirit might be right there now putting his finger on it and he's saying, listen, maybe you didn't do so well in that. So I want us to just turn to one another quickly, because you see the word also says that we need to confess our sins to one another and pray for one another. And this is that safe environment where you can turn to someone and say, listen, I've messed up. I've missed this. I need God's help. Or I've got this person in my work. I would love to pray for all of you, but it's easier if we just turn to one another and let's just quickly pray for one another and say, God, this is what's happening in this person's life. Intervene. Allow them to be the aroma of Christ in that situation to those around them. So can we turn to one another and let's just pray. Let's just take a couple of minutes and let's minister to one another.